Hey guys, it's Zoe here. Robin and I are preparing our 3-year anniversary episode that will be coming out next week. So today's episode is going to be a Patreon repost. We'll see you next week and stay spooky.
Welcome to Haunted Hospitality, Southern Stories Told by Spooky Gingers. I'm Robin.
And I'm Zoe.
And we're doing a Patreon episode, and I have a researched story to tell you guys today.
I am very excited because it's like, I don't think I know at all what you're doing. And it's just like, the whole world is your oyster, my man.
The whole world. So I did tell you that I'm doing something popular. I'm doing something well known.
If you did tell me that, I did not pay attention.
It was a text, but that is totally fine. It is totally fine. Today, I'm going to talk about Annabelle, the doll.
Oh!
We have covered this on a something spooky before, but like we're, you know, using this opportunity to go more in depth.
Yeah. You know?
So I wanted to like, I kind of like that Patreon, like I kind of view it as like an opportunity to like go into different stories that like, I feel like we totally would cover if it were in the South.
Yes, absolutely.
Know? So let's talk about Annabelle. And before I begin, a disclosure, claimer, whatever. From what I've been able to tell, a lot or all of the story of Annabelle seems to originate from Ed and Lorraine Warren. And like their son-in-law talks about it too. But, you know, these were the two people who were like involved in the case. And they seem to be the only ones who have talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is from them.
Yeah.
In one way or another. Now, there are multiple versions of these things. Some things could get lost in translation. We'll see that kind of come in. But as we've previously talked about, you and I, Zoe, are not the biggest fans of the Warrens.
Yes. I have heard a lot of allegedly negative things about them.
We both take everything they say with a grain of salt. So I want to just say, view this episode as a spooky story about a scary doll.
Yeah.
So okay. Versus me beginning every sentence with allegedly, let's just assume that and go on in.
This is a work of fiction. For legal reasons, this is a work of fiction. All right, Robin, tell us your fan fiction.
It's not my fan fiction. I found this at sources. They are linked. But yeah, we have to say allegedly for everything. So yes. Annabelle, the real Annabelle doll, was a large Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
She's very soft and very different than how she appears in the movies, namesake movies. So in the movies, which I feel like if you're listening to this, you've either seen one or more, or you at least know how she looks. But if for some reason you don't, she is meant to look much more like a kind of like a child, but like an evil one, like really evil, like very exaggerated, glaring at you features. This is in part because the filmmakers did not think, probably correctly, that the Raggedy Ann manufacturers would like her to be in a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
So they kind of like went from the get-go of like, well, we need to make something. Annabelle in the movies just looks a lot scarier.
Yeah.
A lot scarier. Other than the fact that she's definitely more sinister looking, I think that she's got some of the, like in the movie, I think she's got some of this uncanny valley effect, which is lost in the original Raggedy Ann doll, because you don't look at Raggedy Ann doll and think like of how much it looks like a person.
Right.
Versus Annabelle looks like a really creepy kid.
Can I tell you a personal story?
Please. This is Patreon.
So, my mother, she has red curly hair, and her parents both have not ginger complexions and very dark brown hair. And so she was often called the milkman's baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But she also was always called Raggedy Ann growing up, to the point that when I was born, I was given a Raggedy Ann doll.
At least she ran with it.
Well, she didn't give me the Raggedy Ann doll.
Oh, no.
Somebody else did. And she may not have been very happy about that.
I'd be kind of upset. I'd be like, I get one daughter in this life, and you give her a Raggedy Ann doll because of my old nickname.
Yeah, and the worst part is that, like, my grandparents would go out with my dad, my mom, and me and my brother when we were babies, and they would think that all four of us was my grandparents' kids. And so, because both my dad and my mom have red hair.
Wait, so they would think all of y'all are your grandparents' kids because your parents were younger too.
Yeah, and we all four had red hair, and so we all looked like siblings, apparently.
Thank you for sharing, Zoe.
Yes, sorry. Anyway, Raggedy Ann.
So, Raggedy Ann, the real Annabelle doll,
yeah,
is 3 feet tall, has red hair, buttons for eyes, and an orange nose shaped like a triangle. She has on a mostly white dress with a frilly collar and these floral patterned sleeves and red and white striped socks. Just a fun, frolicky outfit. There's nothing inherently creepy about the way she looks today, unless you zoom out a little bit, because she is currently in a rather small wooden box with a glass front. And you know, it's nice to have a window. At the top of this box is a cross, and she is surrounded by a whole bunch of other creepy items in the currently closed Ed and Lorraine Warren's occult museum.
Currently closed, really?
It's actually been closed. I saw a couple of dates, but I think it's 2019.
Oh.
Zoning. Yeah. But there is also a sign outside the box that says positively do not open.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they add the positively in there. I've also seen this box in photos with a red light on the inside shining down onto her. So extra creepy. And there was one photo that had like a tarot card tacked to the outside of the box, and it was just the devil.
Oh.
Wait. I think that was like...
The devil was tacked to the outside of the box.
The tarot card.
Tarot card. I immediately forgot the word tarot card for some reason. Okay.
You didn't know they had the devil in the museum too, and they were just like, well, we don't know where to put him.
I was thinking a playing card for some reason. Like, the devil has a baseball league card.
Oh, like... All kinds of confused. I thought you would have said playing card, like, you know, like poker, you know?
Oh.
Like, okay. I guess the spades could be kind of creepy.
Anyway, sorry. I was thinking about cats, apparently. So, okay. I'm here. I'm queer. I'm ready to go.
Okay. So, in 1970, a woman bought a Raggedy Ann doll. This is Annabelle, by the way. But, like, not Annabelle yet.
You know? Okay, yeah.
She bought it as a birthday gift for her adult daughter, whose name is either Donna or Deirdre. I think she's most commonly called Donna, so we are going to call her Donna here.
Okay.
Donna was a 28-year-old nurse, or student nurse, in Hartford, Connecticut. Just as a statement, I am 26 years old, and I would not be particularly happy to be given a Raggedy Ann doll today. I would think that's a weird choice of a present for me.
Yeah.
But Donna's like, okay, great. I'm going to bring this to my apartment and I'm going to display it prominently. So she brings it back to her apartment. She lives there with her roommate, Angie, who is also either a nurse or a student nurse. And the doll lives, you're going to hear me say this a lot, either on their couch in the living room or in Donna's bedroom. Different sources say different things.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the couch.
Okay.
So Donna is going about her life, and she sees that some things are off with the doll. Like, one day the doll's legs are crossed, which is not how Donna remembers leaving her. Another day the doll is turned to the side, which is not how Donna remembers leaving her. And then the doll starts moving. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sitting on the, not just sitting on the couch, but it's going to other rooms. She placed the doll on the couch one day, like normal, left the apartment for a bit. When she came back, it was in her bedroom, and the door was closed. Did Annabelle shut it behind her? That's a question.
Very polite. She's like, I need some alone time.
She's like, you put me in the living room. There's way too many people here. I'm an introvert, is what we don't understand about Annabelle. Yes. She's an introvert.
She is an introvert, and she doesn't appreciate being forced to sleep on the couch when there's a perfectly good bedroom right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And we wouldn't like that either. So it's, by the way, when I say that the doll is moving, we don't see it scurrying around.
Yeah.
It's like in the movies where it's like, well, the doll's here. And then all of a sudden you open the door and the doll's actually in this room. And how did it possibly get into this room? And I have talked in the Robert the Doll episode about how I just cannot get behind the idea of dolls moving. Like, I cannot picture it. It looks ridiculous in my head.
Yeah.
And I think that's why in the movies we never see them like actually doing the walking around. Because if you just saw a doll shuffling, teeter-tottering around, it'd be like the most laughable thing in the entire world.
Though, too,
it would not be creepy.
Fair. Mm-hmm. I think in the movies, the devil like possesses the doll or something like that. So maybe what we would actually see is like the devil materializing, picking up the doll and cradling it, bringing it to the other room and very carefully putting it back down.
Wait, is that what you think of when you hear the word possession? It's like somebody outside of you moving your body?
No. But if it's a doll.
Well, I just assume like they're in there somehow.
Well, in the movie, I'm pretty sure like they show the devil outside of the doll and they make it. I feel like there's a line in one of the movies that makes it so it seems like the devil is pretending to be in the doll, but he's not, and he's moving it around.
Okay. We're not talking about the movies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're talking about the real Annabelle.
Okay.
But also, I do remember now that you bring it up. So, okay, for context, Zoe and I went to see Annabelle together when it originally came out in theaters. I remember this one scene. Oh, God. So much. I remember, I had a nightmare. Actually, you know what's funny? What? I had a nightmare that Annabelle the doll was in this like dining room table in the kitchen of the house that I'm going to tomorrow and that I'm going to spend the night at tomorrow.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah. I'm also spending another night there this week just because how things worked out. I'm having a crazy week coming up. But
yeah. So Annabelle.
Okay.
Annabelle's moving around, toddling around.
She's going around like an elf on the shelf.
Yes.
You don't see her move. And so Donna and Angie are like, they're clocking this. They're clocking these movements. But it starts to get really weird for them when there are notes left on the floor, seemingly for them to read.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on parchment paper, which is like, you know, that kind of thin brown paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, we don't keep this in the apartment. How has anybody got this in there? And written on the paper are things like, according to the New Haven Register, things like, quote, like, help me, help us.
Huh.
In most sources, I've seen, like, iterations on the help me. The mm-hmm. help us part has been, like, a little bit less common to be told. This is also done in crayon. And hi, Soupy.
She scared the shit out of me. She tapped me on the back of my arm.
Oh. See, okay, that is, like, a bad thing for you because, like, the way you're positioned, like, it has to be from behind mostly. But, like, Remy, when we're recording, and this happened when we're recording the episode we did just before this, but, like, I'll feel these, like, claw marks in my leg. And I look down, and she's, like, hanging off my leg, like, hey, let me. Okay, so yes, the creepy handwriting.
Yeah, help me, help us.
Help me, help us is pet in me. Crayon.
Yeah.
No, pet me. It does not say that. It's done in crayon, and the handwriting looks like a child mm-hmm. has done it. This isn't the only note. There are other notes too. And during some of this time, as we're building up here, they're wondering if perhaps someone has broken into their apartment and is being really weird by writing these notes and making it look like the doll has moved. Like, if the boy were reversed, And she first suspected the guy living in the walls rather than the haunted doll.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently the phrase for that means is frogging with a PH.
Excuse me, what?
The term...
The phrase for what?
The term for, like, living in somebody else's house when, like, in the attic or in the walls is called frogging with a PH.
I think it was maybe late last night or something. Yeah, it actually was. It was right before I was going to sleep. And I was making the horrible... I really need to get off my phone. There, like, I was making the horrible mistake of, like, scrolling TikTok as if that constant stimulation would make me go to sleep.
Yeah.
And the thing that made me exit out of it was I was, like, just starting to scroll through. Again, like, it's nighttime. I went to sleep kind of late, so it's after midnight.
Because
you saw I was texting... We were sending you video messages.
Oh, and yeah.
The whiskey. So I was just scrolling and I see somebody come up and they're just like, so I think somebody's living in my attic. I'm like, no, I gotta get out of there. And part of me, like, I as I, like, exited out of there, I was like, I'm in absolutely in this dark room, like, in no state, with my back to the door, no state to listen to this, to see this, or anything. Not honestly, not even in a state to have that first sentence in my brain. And then I was thinking to myself, like, would I have the stomach to listen to this awake? Because, you know, this is my, like, the big fear. I mean, there's many fears, but, like, there's so many fears. I'm so afraid. But, like, that's the big fear. Anyway, I came to the conclusion that I think in certain contexts, in the sunlight, I would be able to, like, listen to it. That's not the purpose of this. So, like, they're thinking, like, maybe somebody's frogging.
Yes, maybe somebody's frogging.
Right. So, yeah, they think somebody may be frogging. But then, like, it gets a little bit weird. So, and I'm just going to preface this by saying, like, there are three different instances I read where somebody's like, and this is what made them get in touch with the medium. So I'm just going to let you know, like, the different instances. So one time is when they are having breakfast together one morning. So the nurses, Donna and Angie, are at, like, a table together. They're eating breakfast. And they see that someone is joining them. Annabelle has come up to them and, like, put her arms on the table. And they're like, whoa.
Wait, so, like, it toddled up to them on its little doll feet. And those dolls are not, like, stiff dolls. They're, like, basically
very
a pillow.
Clothy. Yeah.
And it that just put its arms on the table. And it was like, wording... give me breakfast.
It didn't say that. The wording of what I read was a little bit weird. But I'm pretty sure that this has to be what it meant.
Okay.
So, by the way, Annabelle, in none of these, I don't think I read where she speaks.
Oh, yeah, no, I was joking that she's like, give me breakfast, by her body language.
Give me breakfast!
Give me breakfast!
So, they were, at this point, somehow, more interested than afraid, and this is what led them to contact a medium.
Mm-hmm.
One of a few. So the doll even seems, by the way, to be bleeding one time.
With
blood on its chest and hands, they saw. And so in, like, another thing I read, that's what got them to contact the medium, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So there's going to be another instance later where I'm like, and this is what got them to get in touch with the medium. But in terms of, like, just how the story functions and how I've seen it, like, play out in at least, like, one source, I think that event in the context, like, happened after the medium gets there. So I'm just going to put it after.
Okay.
Are we with each other?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll trust you.
Thank you. The medium conducts a seance and tells them that the doll is possessed by a ghost of a 6 or 7 year old girl named Annabelle Higgins. The medium says that Annabelle lived on the land before the apartment complex was built, and she passed away. Her ghost remained and ultimately moved into the apartment. I also read where their son-in-law said, like the Warren son-in-law, said that the medium said that the child Annabelle was in a car crash really close to the complex. And she died in that, and so that's like how her soul stayed around. The medium told the nurses, so Dawn and Angie, that Annabelle, the little girl, liked them and wanted to be in the apartment with them and, you know, just like have comfort from them. Mm-hmm. So the roommates, it seems, are pretty compassionate about this and tell the spirit that she can possess the doll.
Mm-hmm.
What's that line from Pretty Woman? Big mistake. Huge.
I don't know.
I think it's that line. So I also know it mostly from The Office. You're not going to get these references. So the roommates wanted to... The roommates wanted to establish a good relationship with the doll. And so, like, I guess they're treating it nicely. So think like the main character of The Boy when she thought the doll was really haunted and was just kind of like being really nice to the doll.
Can I just say real quick, I recently have been on TikTok, and apparently there is a subsection of the TikTok who thirsts after Brom, the man in the walls. They think he is very sexy and they wouldn't have mind being haunted by him.
But like the man version.
Like the man, yeah. Like Brom, okay, yeah.
At least there's that. Okay. I can't remember what he looked. I remember he was really hairy.
Yeah.
I remember looking at him and like, this is not about the actor. This is simply about like how they had him successfully done up as a man who's been living in walls for years. And I was like, he does not smell good.
Yeah.
There is no way he smells good.
There was something about the discoloration of his tank top.
Yeah. Yeah. So cannot really get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brom gave me the ick, I guess, as the kids would say.
Well, it gave somebody a hard on, so.
Oh my god.
You said anything goes.
Okay, so it does not, this like little kind of thing, like where like they're like, okay, well, Annabelle, come into the doll, everything is good. Well, it doesn't take long before it's not good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anymore. The big situation, which, yes, some versions say this is what made them contact the medium, but it culminates in a violent situation, potentially more than one, because, again, we have three different ways this could have gone down, and there could be a combination of them.
Yeah.
Meet Lou.
Okay.
Lou is Angie's fiance.
Okay.
He does not like Annabelle.
Okay.
And I cannot imagine why.
No.
So, in one of these versions, he's sleeping at the apartment. He wakes up.
Tisk.
Okay, like, honestly, they were pretty clear in saying, like, he was on the couch. Don't worry, he was on the couch. I wonder if part of that's, like, you know, like, the Warrens are, like, Roman Catholic and everything. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's, like, part of... They wouldn't have wanted to, especially like this early, like in the 70s or 80s or something, be like they were sleeping together. So he's sleeping at the apartment on the couch. Don't
on
worry.
On the couch. Alone.
Alone. Wakes up, opens his eyes, and finds that he is being watched. The doll is looking right at him.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, but it looks like it's like he's being choked without anyone touching him.
Annabelle like the doll does not want a man there.
In her mind, she does not want a man there. She does not want a man there.
Okay.
I also saw where the son-in-law, and his name is Tony Spira, described the situation slightly differently to the Hollywood Reporter. In this version, Lou is napping on, he's still napping on the couch. Annabelle is chilling on the couch as well. They're just like together. On the like just chilling,
cheating but
like
on she's your on fiance.
The, she's on the other end. She's on the other end. So yeah, he's napping on the couch. She's there. Later he kind of jolts awake and the nurses are there and they're like, what's up with you?
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them about a dream he had where Annabelle crawled up his body while he was sleeping and attempted to choke him. And he's really freaked out by this. And he takes Annabelle and he throws her. And according to what the son-in-law tells The Hollywood Reporter, Lou says that Annabelle is, quote, nothing more than a Raggedy Ann doll. She can't hurt anybody. But when he throws the doll, he gets 7 scratches on his torso. And, like, these are, like, huge, like, the word, like, claw marks were used a lot.
Ooh.
Huge 7 scratches on him. And there's another version of this story on, I saw it on a different source, allthat'sinteresting.com, that there's one where Lou is hanging out at their apartment. And this one was also mentioned on the son-in-law's website. So at this point, Don is not home. Mm-hmm. Angie and Lou are there, but there are some noises that are coming from Donna's room.
Mm-hmm.
And our guy Lou here is thinking, like, well, nobody should be here right now. And he's thinking maybe they have an intruder. So he goes into Donna's room to check it out, but he just sees Annabelle laying on the floor on her stomach.
Hmm.
He then feels like somebody is behind him. Turns around, he doesn't see anything, but then he feels those scratches put into his torso.
Okay.
So he doesn't get scratches twice. It's just like different versions of how he got those scratches.
Right.
Is my understanding. Poor guy just, and he's like, this is my 14th scratch. By the way, the scratches go away 2 days later, unnaturally quickly, and without scarring or anything.
Sure they do.
The All That's Interesting article also says that this was the incident after which they first contacted the media.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's just a lot. But the nurses were like, okay, we can't do this anymore. And they get a hold of an Episcopal priest, like hoping that he could assist him. And the priest was like, let me get my boss. And the boss priest was like, let me get the Warrens.
Uh-huh.
So enter Ed and Lorraine Warren. We've already talked about them just like so much. So just paranormal investigators who lead investigations on things like the Enfield haunting and are the main characters of the Conjuring series, mm-hmm. which covers a lot of the cases they did. Ed and Lorraine Warren are there and they start investigating. Well, really, they start talking to people and it's clear to them off the bat that this is not human. Like, it's not a ghost. You know, it's not the spirit of a human. And they believe that Annabelle, the doll, which we're just going to call Annabelle now because we started it, was possessed by a demon. In 2017, Lorraine Warren was quoted about Annabelle in USA Today saying, quote, looks are deceiving. It's not what the doll looks like that makes it scary. It is what has been infused within the doll, evil. They didn't think that human spirits could possess a doll or some other inanimate thing, which is like one of the things that was driving them to thinking like, well, this cannot be human. They believe that ultimately the doll was wanting to just be a temp. The thing possessing the doll.
Yeah.
Wanted the doll to just be a temporary vessel for it with the ultimate goal to possess one of the roommates.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember in The Conjuring when they were like, here are the stages that lead to a possession.
Vaguely.
Apparently, according to the son-in-law's website, they were getting close to the possession stage. Like, the roommates were getting close to the possession stage. So they get one of the priests to exorcise the apartment. Mm-hmm. I almost wanted to stop at the word exorcise and just be like, and so they really got in shape. They
went to a Zumba class. Much.
They went to a Zumba class, yes.
Annabelle came.
But so they exercised the apartment, and in order to make sure nobody was further harmed by the doll, Ed and Lorraine Warren were like, she's our doll now. We'll take her.
Brood.
So I think the people in the apartment were probably pretty happy about it. So, like, they took her in their car to their house, but Annabelle did not make it easy, and they like anticipated that she wouldn't make it easy. So they deliberately did not go on the highway when they were going back to the house because they were like, she's gonna like mess with us.
Uh-huh.
So Ed Warren said that the doll tried to mess with his driving, not physically, but through other powers. Like, she was doing things to like control it, but like, if anything, with her mind.
Okay.
You know? He said that the brakes and the steering stopped working a lot on the trip, which are two things you would like to work consistently.
Yeah.
And in the end, he poured holy water on her in retaliation so he could drive. And it did work. He was just like, hey, you.
Imagine you catch a ride from someone and like their car's brake starts going out and you're like, hold on, there's holy water in the glove compartment. Do you mind pouring it all over that doll in the back seat? I'd be like, get out, let me out. You don't even have to stop all the way. I'll just roll.
Zoe, I would like that as like, I don't know if it's long enough to be a horror movie, but you know what? It'd be the best short film of the life. Like, it, that'd be so funny. Just like the unwitting passenger to like just some crazy haunted shit that's happening.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you for just bringing that.
You're welcome.
So they take the doll back to the house, and originally they just put it in Ed's study, but of course Annabelle wants to be free to roam.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be locked up. She's just roaming. She's going around the house. She's like, this room, that room, you know? And they're like, we really don't like it when you do this. So they put her in a shed or something like that, and they lock it. And then, of course, there's one day they just come back, and she's, hey, I'm back. I'm in your house.
Woo!
Interesting how that happens, isn't it? But, like, at one point while she's still in their house, a priest visits.
Uh-huh.
And
as they are often doing.
They often do. And he's, like, kind of making fun of Annabelle. He's just like, come on, come on. You know, he's just joshing her. And he even at one point holds the doll and, like, kind of, like, either throws her or, like, roughly puts her down or something. And Ed's like, don't do that.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Exactly. Exactly what happened. So the priest, that all happens, and then the priest is leaving and he's driving along, and then what does he see in his car's rear view mirror but Annabelle? Right. Whoa. After that,
like in the car or like flying behind the car chasing him?
It was not clear.
Remember what you saw?
I know. Okay, so everybody, I know I've told this story on the podcast before, but like, we're just gonna tell it again because it's most appropriate for today's episode.
Yes.
What happened? So, like I said, Zoe and I, we were in high school. We went to see the very first Annabelle movie come into theaters together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving this little red truck at the time, no back seat, so the back window was like all the way kind of clear and right behind me. That's important. So
yeah.
I drive Zoe back to her house, and I'm taking some like little bit of like windy, not super well lit paths back to my house, you know, as I do. And I'm on this one road in particular. There's not street lights. And I am freaked out a little bit because, like I said, after I saw this movie, I had a nightmare. So I'm in that headspace where I'm like leading into a nightmare. And out of the corner of my eye, in the rearview mirror, I see what, from my peripheral vision, I just am like, that's Annabelle. And she's flying behind my truck. And she's coming after me. And she's like ethereal and white and almost ghostly. And I'm like, this is the worst. And so I'm like probably driving faster at that point. And I'm just hating it. And I'm like not even looking and stuff. And eventually, and I do not know how long it took me to realize this. Maybe even when I parked. But I realize I'm seeing a series of reflections right
now.
I was seeing my dash lights were shining on me. They were reflected in the back window, which was reflecting off of the rear view mirror, which coming into my eyes just, and my scared brain was just like, Annabelle is flying. And like, I can't, like, it's almost comical. Like, I picture her not like flying as in like just straight up. Like, she's kind of like horizontal, her head's going forward, she's like really zooming at me, and her like pigtails or something like flying behind her, and she's like in this white nightgown, and she's like, oh, she's coming at me. Anyway, so when I read that, like, this guy saw her in the rear view mirror, I was like,
so did I.
Luckily, my story ended better than his. Like, he survived.
Oh,
he survived. He survived. But, like, right after it, he is in an intersection where his brakes fail, causing a horrible accident, but he does survive and everybody survives.
Okay.
And I do also need to say, like, again, everything I'm saying
comes from the warning.
Everything. Yes. Just putting that again in there, just so you know.
Yeah.
So now they put her into a museum. So they have a museum of just, like, it's featured in the Conjuring. Like, at the end of every Conjuring movie, they're like, and we're putting this in the museum. So you see all this stuff in there. It's basically, like, I think a whole bunch of creepy collectibles from their cases, maybe beyond, I'm not super sure. And it's things that, like, are theoretically really, like, okay, through the things they espouse, these objects would be really harmful if out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so Annabelle's among them. She's a big one among them. And so they put her in the museum, and even after they put her in the museum, they've had issues with her. Lorraine told USA Today that a couple came by the museum, and the guy was being really disruptive to Annabelle and knocking on the box and everything. And Ed was again like, ugh. Ed made him leave, and the couple got on a motorcycle. And driving away, they were, like, lightheartedly kind of making fun of the doll, and then, quote, lost control of the bike and crashed head-on into a tree. The man died in the accident, while Lorraine says the girlfriend later relayed the story to her. Mm-hmm. And the article also says that there's not, like, documented evidence of this, just right. to let you know. And even though most of the time Annabelle is kept in the museum, she was trotted out last year, so 2023, to the Warrens' Seekers of the Supernatural Phantasmacon.
All right.
Which I did not know existed. But don't worry, everybody. They put holy water on her before they did this.
Uh-huh.
The girl is just dripping in holy water. Like, they keep putting holy water on her.
Take a shower, Annabelle.
So there was also at least one time when employees moved Annabelle, and after touching her, they poured holy water on themselves.
Oh no, I touched the doll. Ah!
It's really reminding me of, like, just like peak COVID times in 2020, where it's like hand sanitizer is the thing you put on after, like, literally touching anything, and you're like, this will save me. This will save me, actually.
Like, the people who tried to drink hand sanitizer.
Oh my god. Y'all. Not what you're looking for.
Mm-mm.
Don't, like, consume things that are not meant to be consumed. And that's, like, such a hard lesson for people to learn, apparently.
Yeah.
Just don't consume it.
Don't eat it. And that goes for things that you're allergic to, too.
Oh, yeah. Zoe, you're over here, like, being like, I'm gonna have some strawberry banana yogurt.
Smoothie.
Whatever. You know you can't have it.
I eat strawberries all the time with minimal consequences.
Minimal. Okay. So, but there was another time where you may have heard, I did not, but apparently it was, like, a rumor making the rounds in 2020, about 2020 again, when the rumor was about Annabelle escaping from the museum of her own accord.
Okay. Yeah, she went missing for a brief period.
She didn't.
Oh.
So I saw this on heavy.com, talked about it, but a YouTuber called High Tech apparently put the pieces together as to how this rumor went around. Annabelle Wallace, who I don't think it can be coincidentally, but, like, her name is Annabelle Wallace. Mm-hmm. Okay, her name is Annabelle, but she played the main character in the 2014 Annabelle movie.
Oh.
And that main character was named Mia, not Annabelle.
Okay.
Like, it was the woman who was pregnant, you know?
Yeah.
And was haunted by the doll. I thought she did a great job. She had an interview with The Hollywood Reporter. They were talking about a different movie she did with Tom Cruise. And apparently, and this is relevant, Tom Cruise doesn't like it when other actors run with him in a movie. according to this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But she really wanted to do a running scene with him in this movie they were working on. And so she was smart. She would wait in, like, the gym they all went to or something, like, the cast members or something. And she would wait there until she knew, like, right about when he would be coming in. And she would start her runs then, making sure, like, he would see her run so he could see her running form, which she was like, I have good running form. And so he was finally like, okay, you're a good runner. You can run with me. Like, you deserve. So she got into the film to be able to run. And at this part, I'm a little bit iffy. I'm guessing that YouTuber, if you want to look it up, like, has it all out there. But I guess, like, Annabelle runs has to be somewhere in there. I don't fully, like, in the article or, like, titled or something like that, which is then translated to different languages. And I guess it gets translated to Chinese, where really it's translated to, like, Annabelle escapes. Which starts the rabbit hole of the doll of Annabelle escaping from the museum. And probably further tied to it, the actress did actually talk about the movie a little bit in that interview as well, like the Annabelle movie a little bit in that interview as well. But like, she didn't, the doll did not go missing. Like, the son-in-law posted a video to the internet. He was like, Annabelle's right here, y'all. She's right here. Wow. She's been here. She'll be here. It didn't go missing. But yeah, no, that was just like one thing after another after another. So like I said, you actually cannot go to the museum today. It is closed to the public now since 2019 because it's not zoned to allow a museum. Mm-hmm. And okay, so yeah, I mentioned the son-in-law, Tony Spiro, a few times. So after Ed died in Lorraine's latter years, she kind of partnered with him on their paranormal investigations. And then they did a talk at Lorraine's old Catholic school. And he said there, just to round everything out, that he would find, like, I'm rounding out everything in the episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, he would find the Annabelle doll to be the most frightening object in their collection in the museum. So that's Annabelle.
Yay!
In terms of, like, where we think, like, okay, Zoe, like, let's just do it. Let's just do it. How haunted is Annabelle?
Let's give you two answers.
Okay.
The me that believed in the Warrens before I found out that they weren't exactly the best people in the world, I would put it at, like, an 8 or 9.
Okay.
However, the me today, who is aware of the shady practices allegedly happened, like a 2.
2's good. 2's good. I think it's a really interesting story.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, it's all, I was invested in the characters.
I like the movie.
The movie's great. The movie's, like, the origin of Annabelle. It's kind of interesting to, like, just, because it'd been so long since I saw the movie, but some of the articles I was going into, like, were kind of talking about, like, how the difference is, like, in terms of how they say, like, Annabelle first got possessed, which is quite interesting. I think the movie took it a really kind of interesting route. It kind of almost took it, like, into the satanic panic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can say, like, I think it's real, you know, partially because remember how I said, like, I just cannot picture, like, Robert the doll being real, and so by that same logic I can't see this, but also because, like, those were the only people who came forward about anything about it. Like, nobody else involved that I've been able to see said anything.
Yeah.
And so I can't really just, like, trust that, you know.
Right. Yeah. No,
but I view it as a story, and so I wanted to share it here, so we all know.
Thank you, Robin.
What happened? Yeah.
Yeah, I like what you've said. Hearing that story after watching the movie, like, it's fun to see, like, the priest driving away with Annabelle. Well, in the movie, a priest drove with Annabelle and ended up dying, I think. And, like, so it's really interesting to see how they took, like, quote, real life parts of the story and put it into the movie.
It is interesting, like, what they picked and choose. Mm-hmm. But everyone, thank you for listening to today's episode.
And thank you, Robin, for telling it.
Oh, well, you know, you're welcome. I try. and we'll see you next month.
Yes.
where we're going to be watching The Vitch.
The Vitch.
The Vitch.
The Vitch. Stay spooky.